So, Brian, in case it's confusing, I'm going to meditate and then you're going to read the John. Well, this wasn't how I pictured this night until last weekend, was it? But here we are, and we are still connected in spirit, and we are still worshiping, and we are still celebrating, and we know that that will continue no matter what the next few weeks hold for us. And it's Christmas Eve. In the Passover Seder, Jewish children are taught to ask, why is this night unlike any other night? For me, I always think that same question on Christmas Eve. Why is this night unlike any other night? What is it about this holy night that speaks to our hearts, calls forth our faith, stirs us to hope? And as I do my last minute shopping, which I always end up having to do, and I see the crowds of people in their frenzies of last minute shopping and the mob at Wegmans yesterday and all that, I also find myself wondering, what is it about this night that compels even the millions of people who say they don't believe in Jesus, or maybe that they just don't know what to think about Jesus? Still, somehow, they get caught up in the enormous energy of loving and giving that is brought forth every year around this celebration. Even in far-off places that don't have a Christian heritage, there is something about the celebration of Christmas that draws people in. Our daughter Anna has lived in Saudi Arabia for the last 6 years. A place that you could easily argue is one of the most devoutly Muslim countries in the world. Saudi Arabia's job is to be the defender of the faith, the protector of the holy places of Mecca and Medina, the managers, the overseers of the Hajj pilgrimage. So there has never, ever been any Christmas celebration allowed in Saudi Arabia, ever. Until last year, and again this year. In the push for modernization and westernization, there are Christmas lights and Christmas trees. Of course, it's all secular Christmas, I guess we could say, nothing religious, all about sales and commercialism, and yet it's still Christmas being acknowledged and in some ways celebrated in Saudi Arabia. So it got me thinking the ways that Christmas is celebrated all across the world, with thousands of different cultural rituals, millions of family traditions, special music, special food, special decorations, so many different things that people do to celebrate. You may have heard it. I heard on NPR this week that there's an annual Christmas lottery that's a huge deal in Spain, worth some 3 billion euros. And that has happened every year since 1812. Millions of Spaniards buy lottery tickets or split lottery tickets to be a part of the Christmas lottery. But at the heart of Christmas, we know, there is this story, this very simple story in a way. Mary and Joseph, tired from a journey, needing a place to stay, and Mary pregnant, baby on his way. A lot has been made about that line, there was no room for them in the inn, so they put Jesus in the manger, the feeding trough, right, for the animals. There have been sermons preached and meditations written on the idea that the chosen one of God was born in a stable with the animals because human beings didn't make room for him. We have it very imprinted in our mind. In fact, when my kids were 3, 4, and 5, the first choir they were ever part of at church sang, knock, 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 went Joseph on the stable door, so, you know, and the innkeeper says, no room, no room. So it's imprinted. And yet, scholars who studied the Bible, who actually know about Middle Eastern culture, say there is no way that happened. There is no way if Joseph's family, if he had relatives in Bethlehem, there is no way they did not find some space for them somewhere. That just wouldn't happen. In fact, in the Middle East, perfect strangers would have gotten welcomed in because the tradition of hospitality is so strong. So these scholars say that the word that usually gets translated in, no room in the inn, is probably better translated guest room. So there was no room in the guest room because it was already full with other people. So Joseph and Mary had to stay in the one big main room there where the family lived, the room where they ate and slept and did everything. They might have had an add-on guest room for guests, but basically these were poor people who lived in one-room house. And their animals would have been in the same house, in a connected area that was a little bit lower, but still part of, under the same roof, not a little more separate. Keegan, you and Tracy live, your animals are more separate, but it would be like if your goats were in the kitchen. They were just a little lower, but they had the animals in the same area for warmth. The animals helped warm them up, and also for safety, so nobody got to the animals or bothered them. So in this understanding, Jesus was born not off by themselves, all alone in some stable with just animals. Jesus was born into the mess and the crowded noises and sounds and smells of a peasant family's home. And after his birth, they cleaned him up and they wrapped him up and they put him in the straw where they normally fed the animals so he didn't get stepped on, basically. So he was out of the way and safe. Jesus, God's son, was born into the heart of a human family surrounded by kids and grandparents and aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces and the sounds and smells of food cooking and a fire burning and animals munching on hay while people laughed and talked and finally all went to sleep together. Sleep in heavenly peace, all warm and cozy together. The more I've lived with this alternative picture of how Jesus got born, the better I like it. Because the whole point of our Christmas celebration is incarnation, God coming into our human, earthly, bodily lives that we live in families. God choosing to be with us in this baby born in Bethlehem. Not God born in holy silence and solitude with just the angels and Mary and Joseph, but God coming right into the middle of the sometimes beautiful, sometimes painful, always complicated, messy realities of humanity, of human families. Author Anne Rice has written that the story of incarnation is not like any other, because here we have the greatest inversion perhaps the world has ever seen. And the person of the Christ child, the maker of the universe, has come down to be born a helpless infant in our midst. The great inversion, everything turned upside down. Tiny, small, helpless, vulnerable, this little child, just like the little child we have all been and somewhere deep inside always still are, the creator of the universe chose to come to us like that, utterly dependent, absolutely helpless. Without the love and care of Mary and Joseph and the rest of the family, he would have died. They had to care for him. He needed them, absolutely. Jesus, the Christ, the messenger of God, did not come in power or glory. He did not come by force. He came as a little baby born to simple people, people like all of us, in a family like all of us. Why, we may ask. Why did God come like that? And why does God still seem to come in the moments of vulnerability? Why does God come in the poor and the lowly? And I think it just seems to be more and more clear because that is where love is revealed. That is where we can see love. We see love in vulnerability. We see love in intimacy. We see love in dependency. We see love when we show up for each other and take care of each other and fight with each other and argue with each other and still love each other. That is where we come to know how to live, how to receive, and how to give love. Love isn't easy. It can be hard work. But it is the most essential thing in our lives. And so in Jesus, that baby of Bethlehem, we are called again and again to trust in love, to give ourselves, to dare to reveal our weaknesses and our neediness, to risk loving each other more fully and deeply, even though we know that one way or another, our hearts will be broken. By loving. It's the only way to love. Great love takes great risk. Great love takes all that we have to give. And so on this night, we celebrate the great love that is at the heart of all creation, the great love that came to us in Jesus, in that baby born in that home with the people, the family, the goats, the donkeys, the cows, and the noises and smells of a family being family. Jesus was born to show us God's great, great love for us. We are all God's beloved. God delights in each and every one of us. Amen. Brian will share some closing words from the Gospel of John.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.